Welcome to the Sharp 600, brought to you by Covers.com. I'm Rob Cressy, and I'm super excited to be jamming with you. Joining me on today's show to talk about what's going on with the Super Bowl from a sportsbook perspective is Jay Cornegay. But first, the sports world lost a great one in Kobe Bryant over the weekend. His passing is unfortunate, and instead of it being a time of sadness, I prefer to look at it as a time of celebration. So here's my quick tribute to Kobe Bryant from the lens of sports betting. And what I want to go to is the last game of his NBA career, April 13th, 2016. He played 42 minutes and scored 60 points. Many books had the point total for him scoring at anywhere between 21.5 and 25 points. Naturally, there is heavy action on the over, which in true Kobe fashion, he covered easily. But here's what's even more important. The Lakers were 4-point underdogs in that game against Utah. Not only did the Lakers win that game straight up, but the over-under of that game was 196. The final total, 197. That's right. Kobe left fans with his NBA career with a moneyline underdog win, and he hit the over.
Bryant. Oh! It counts at the foul! Serving up a facial on Jared Jackson.
Will you be in Las Vegas or New Jersey for the big game on Super Bowl weekend? 2020 is Cover's 25th anniversary, and we're kicking off the year by hanging out at sportsbooks in Las Vegas and Atlantic City for the big game. Join us at the books in the Link in Las Vegas and Bally's Wild Wild West in Atlantic City to meet the Cover's crew, to talk sports betting, and to score some great prizes. In Vegas, we're giving away a $1,000 bankroll for the big game. And in Atlantic City, we're giving away a VIP viewing area for the Super Bowl. Plus, we will also have other prizes and tons of free swag to give away. Follow us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram to get more details on when we'll be at the Link in Bally's that weekend.
Bryant with the save.
Oh, you got to get a shot here.
Final seconds. Bryant for the win.
And joining me to give you insight into what's going on with Super Bowl betting from a sportsbook perspective is Jay Cornegay, Executive Vice President of Race and Sportsbook Operations at Westgate Superbook. You can follow him on Twitter at Jay Cornegay. Jay, great to have you back on the show.
Good to see you, Rob.
So one thing that I enjoyed about our previous conversation, which was leading into Thanksgiving, is the casual nature of things and sort of how you took in Thanksgiving betting. So let's move this bad boy to the Super Bowl side of things. What is leading up to the Super Bowl like for you working in a sports book and around the sports betting world?
Well, there's a lot of prep work involved. We actually started working on the Super Bowl just on the odds aspect is about 3 weeks ago, Rob. We started cranking these things out. I got a great team here, first of all. And we've done a lot of prep work, not only for the odds, where a lot of people look at the propositions and all, but we also do a lot of prep work for our high-end players that are coming in. We are involved in special events. We have three gigantic parties here, each having about 2,500 people. We have another free party that's probably around 1,600 people, and then all the happenings that we have in the book itself. So we're probably going to be entertaining over 10,000 people on Super Bowl Sunday. So we do a lot of prep work there. And, of course, everybody looks at the propositions. And as I mentioned, we started working on that about 3 weeks ago. We got about four or five guys, headed by – Ed Sammons, Jeff Sherman, those guys are terrific. We've been together for about 27 years. And we kind of locked those guys in a room and they hash it all out. And we're able to get all those propositions posted.
So let's stick with the props for a second. One thing that I notice often is the juice on the props or the lines that you're going to get. You're seeing minus 125s. You see minus 140s. You see things that we traditionally don't if we're just taking Chiefs minus one or an over under there. Can you help us understand that a little bit more? Because I'll even give an example. I saw a Raheem Mostert over, I think it was like 56 and a half yards prop somewhere. But then I saw it minus 140. And while liking it going into it at the over, I did not like that bad boy at the minus 140 because from a sports betting perspective, I just don't like laying that much. So what really goes into that side of things? And are you playing on the fact that more people are going to be betting casually on this, so there's more of an opportunity?
You know, when we mess with the money line, when we get to that point, let's just say longest rushing attempt by Mostert started off at 17 and a half. It's down to 16, right? At times, we cannot agree on a certain number, but we are able to compromise by adjusting the money line. Let's just say, you know, one of us or three of us have it at 16 and a half and two of us have 17 and a half. You know, we might compromise and say, let's go 16 and a half over $1.40. That's how we come up with it. But it is a discussion. And then we'll go over some numbers. We'll go over some highlights to state our case. And we just come to our agreement. Again, we got to do almost 500 of these things. So we got to keep it moving. But sometimes these can take 20 minutes. Sometimes it takes 30 seconds.
From a being a smart, informed, better standpoint, are betting props smart for the casual better compared to the way that we bet through the other 17 weeks of the season?
Well, I think if you do your homework, just like anything else, you could probably find some value on certain propositions, especially if someone is, you know, moving the line off of our number. I mean, you know, it really comes to like our data, our statistics, our algorithms versus these others that are out there. And I mean, it's well publicized when we open these things up for the first day and a half, it's all really sharp guys, dominated by sharp guys, really sharp guys, actually some of the sharpest in the business that are out here. You know, we limit them to two bets each trip to the window, and then they go back to the line and you know, they'll do it all over again. And looking at some of these numbers and just some of the movement, which we can go over later, but it's just what their numbers and what their data is telling them versus ours. Now, as far as the casual bettor, you know, you can take a look at that. And I'm not saying our numbers are stronger than the other guys, but if you do some homework and look into it, just like anything else, you might have some value there that you could take advantage of. But most people don't do that, as you know. Most people are just shooting from the hip and thinking, wow, you know, Mostert's definitely going to have a rushing attempt more than 16 and a half yards. Give me the over. That's how most of these bets go.
How much does the number that other books in Vegas lay down for that same action affect what you guys do? Because once again, if we look at the regular season, you likely wouldn't see one book all of a sudden at Chiefs -1.5 and another all the way up to -3. But when we're looking at these props, we're starting to see a little bit of variability. How much is what you guys do as opposed to when I'm doing some of the research on prop betting, they're saying, hey, shop around to see if you can get better numbers, whether it's earlier or later, to get middling opportunities or things like that.
That you bring up a valid point there, because to answer your first part of that question, we don't really look at others. I mean, we know they're out there, and we can tell by the way that money is coming in, especially the first night, that let's say Mostert, we put up over under 80 and a half rushing yards. All right. And if somebody has 70, you know, pretty much when it's all said and done, when the smoke clears, we're going to pretty much be very close to the same number at 74 and a half, 75 and a half, something like that. And we know that a lot of people take those opportunities and try to take advantage of those middling opportunities where others have strictly opinion as far as, you know, its value. And the others are trying to middle these things. And it really depends on the proposition. If it's usually a high number, like a rushing yards by Mostert, he's, I'd say that because it's such a high number, most likely there was somebody that had a lower number than us, than our 80.5, because right now we're sitting at 74.5, and that's exactly what happened. I think the market really settled in at 74.5, 75.5.
All right, so let's now go to what you do during the Super Bowl. Are you going to a Super Bowl watch party, or is this straight? Listen, there's so much leading up to this for you. You're like, you're working a ton. Like, give us a little bit into your, what is the Super Bowl like for you?
Well, the beginning of the day is certainly a lot of customer service, a lot of meet and greet, a lot of shaking hands and greeting all our top players. And then it turns into settling, you know, them into their comfort spot, wherever it might be. And that really leads all the way up to the kickoff. Obviously I'll be looking at the numbers. I'll be looking at, where we stand. I'll be informing my senior reports, where we are, if there's anything to report there. There'll be certain propositions that will probably catch our eye, that like we definitely need a touchdown scored, you know, in this game. Like last year, that kind of caught us off guard a little bit, because I don't think I've ever remember mentioning that, where, you know, we didn't have a touchdown scored in the game going into the fourth quarter. And, you know, we were going to lose a healthy six figures if it, you know, ended up to be a 6-3 game or 9-3 game. And so I had to inform them of that at the beginning of the fourth quarter, which put everybody on edge. That's always a fun call. Once the game starts, I still go around and check on some of my top players. I'll be roaming around the back room, seeing what how the props are coming in, because we have a good five or six guys that are really watching it closely and posting props as they happen. So in the spirit of good customer service, we try to post these things as fast as we can so people can cash them, you know, as it happens, or, you know, as soon as the game ends, you know. But as you know, a lot of them have to wait until we get that box score. But there's others that we can post as the game progresses.
All right. So speaking of when the game ends, what's now for you? Because as sports bettors, we're like, all right, this season's done. I'm already on to next. People are like, let me see win totals. Let me see MVP. Like, how quickly are you working on next season when the Super Bowl ends?
Well, it certainly doesn't happen that night. We are still, you know, cleaning up around here, as we will have lines to cash tickets. Yes, unfortunately, there's that many that still come up to the counter and get a physical ticket. We are, as we've seen in years past, we will have lines for the next 2.5 days of people cashing. So the onslaught, as soon as the game ends, it can be a little hectic out there. You know, this is at the end of the game, and, you know, there's more than a few that have been partying all day, and there's now a winning side and a losing side. So if you – you know, we kind of keep an eye on the crowd a little bit, you know, as far as, you know, patience can be a little short. People might be a little bit more sensitive than they were before kickoff. And, you know, there's a little, some snappy conversations out there that we try to keep an eye on. As far as moving forward, it's usually a couple of days. We like to take a breath. And, you know, we'll start looking, and March Madness will be on the horizon, and we'll start focusing on that.
You deserve a day off or so in between seasons.
Yeah, okay. I know I won't be playing golf the fall. Now, maybe Wednesday after the Super Bowl. We'll see. I'd like to get out again, just kind of forget about everything, and then, hit the course for a little bit and just kind of reboot, and then get right back at it on Thursday.
Nice. So let's get to the game itself. We're seeing Chiefs 1.5 or 1-point favorites on the 49ers. 54 and a half or 55 on the over under. Can you give any insight into sort of where the action is going on this game?
Yeah, as you know, when we opened the line at Pick'em, it was about 80% of the tickets were on Kansas City. Well, that's leveled off now. You know, we're looking at about 66% now on Kansas City, ticket-wise, straight bets on the point line. The over-under is certainly still lopsided as we opened 51.5, gone up to 54.5. And at one point in time, it was about 90-something percent on the over, but it's leveled off there too. As now we're down to about, 74% on the over. As far as the money line, that's the only thing that's really in favor of San Francisco, as we have about 74% of the tickets on the money line the 49ers. So a little bit, if you see people betting the 49ers, that's usually on the money line. You know, they're getting that even money. I really don't blame them. But everything else is favoring Kansas City, but not to the levels that we saw initially soon after we posted the opening line.
One thing I'm curious about is with this total here at 54.5, and you're hearing, oh, it can't go higher, everyone's going to start taking the under. But what I do know is the majority of the public action is going to come in the last 48 hours until the game time. So why couldn't this go up more? Because I don't know about you, but I don't want to root for the under if I'm putting in a Super Bowl number or putting in an over-under ticket.
Yeah, well, typical betting patterns are always on the over and usually the favorite, or they tend to migrate to the better quarterback. And we know who that is, or, and at least the ones that is getting all the headlines, and we understand that. So the support that the Chiefs are getting, the support and action that we've seen on the over is very typical for Super Bowl betting. I don't really see that changing that much all the way to kickoff. I expect those same betting patterns to continue. But I will say that I know there's some support on San Francisco out there. And even though I think the ticket count and maybe even the money side will favor Kansas City, I expect some bigger plays on San Francisco here where we might see more pick'em games or pick'em lines in the next couple of days.
So would you recommend then, if someone likes San Francisco, to take it now as opposed to wait until a little bit closer?
Yeah, I would. You know, I don't like to recommend that just in case I'm wrong. But, you know, if you see a 1.5 out there, I would certainly, you know, eyeball that if you're looking to bet San Francisco. I don't think those are going to last much longer. It really depends on how some of these places, you know, book their game and you know, where they stand on futures, that kind of thing. They might want to see, you know, San Francisco money. I know that, you know, up north, up in northern Nevada, they're going to see all San Francisco money. There's no doubt in my mind that those guys up there are going to be cheering for the Chiefs, where it might be totally different down here in southern Nevada.
So last thing for you, let's talk about the live betting side of things. How big will that be for the Super Bowl? And is this something that continually grows year after year for you?
Yeah, that's, I'm glad you brought that up, because we certainly are encouraging everybody to sign up for mobile accounts. And especially if you're going to plan on wagering during the game. And no matter where you are, you don't have to be a resident of that state to open up an account, whether it's here, New Jersey, or somewhere else. You know, you just remember that those mobile accounts are only accessible and you're able to use those while you're in that particular state. So go ahead and sign up early. You'll be able to utilize in-game wagering, which is a lot of fun. But I expect it to be bigger than ever. It obviously is growing each and every day for us. For the Super Bowl, I expect it to be hot and heavy. I'm hoping for a good game. If the game tends to get boring or lopsided, it will take away from those numbers. But I think we're all anticipating a solid, closely contested game.
Yeah, for me, I think I found more interest in waiting to put action on this game because -1, 1.5, pick them, whatever. But now, first team to score. Now I've got a little bit more to go with. Maybe I can scalp some value just by watching it a little bit more, knowing that right now there's just not a lot for me to go on.
Yeah, that works, especially if your team, let's say you like San Francisco going into the game and San Francisco scores first, you know, 7-0. You know, then your value is pretty much out the window on that side. But it certainly works, and you might have, you know, a better opportunity if all of a sudden you're down by 7, okay, and then you're getting, you know, 3 points or maybe 3.5, depends on how they look. But I can understand that. I'm not patient like that, Rob. That takes a little bit of patience, but you could do a little bit of both. I think that's what most people do. You play a little pregame, and then you have an opinion after watching, you know, a few series. Then you're like, okay, you know, this team is really dominating, you know, physically, that, you know, you might want to reload and play some in-game.
Jay, I really enjoy jamming with you. Where can everybody connect with you?
They can direct message me at Jay Cornegay. That's probably the easiest way for those that, you know, want to email me. Should I give my email address out here?
I don't know. We usually keep things on social because we have a very engaging community. So if you've got a question for Jay, what I recommend, shoot Jay a question on Twitter at Jay Cornegay. Maybe that'll be the best way.
There you go. I think you're right.
Not that you don't have anything going on in the next week or two.
Yeah, no, I welcome those, and I really do try to get to them as fast as I can, and try to answer, you know, all of them, and try to explain what we got going on here. You know, there's a lot of people that have opinions. I really don't like to give out picks or anything like that. You know, I'm still on this side of the counter, and there's a reason for that. But as far as, you know, questions on the industry or any type of, you know, special event that we might be having here or anything else, I'll get to it as soon as I can.
And I want to hear from you. Have you laid down your Super Bowl action yet? Are you going to be playing props, getting action down now, or are you waiting for live betting? You can hit me up on Twitter at Rob Cressy and make sure to use #Sharp600 and be part of our community. And also make sure to use, make sure to tag at Covers. And one thing that really helps us out is we love getting your feedback. When you subscribe, rate, and review on iTunes, it means the world to us because it helps others find this podcast. And remember, if you want to be a sharp, don't be a square with your bankroll. Be disciplined with your money management.
The funkadelic devil hit you with the rap level of 10. The 1, 2, 3, your pen. I get action. So everybody jump with your rump. If you like the way the sound pump, pump it in your back trunk. And let loose with the juice when I do rock. I'm too hot. Some say I got more juice than Tupac.